The Joy Unleashed show empowers and inspires women to reclaim their joy. We provide tools, resources, and connections to help you unlock your true potential through engaging conversations, expert insights, and transformative stories. We create a vibrant and inclusive community where women can break free from the limitations that hold them back. I'm Joyologist Colleen Greco, and it is my honor to be your host. Let's get right into the show. If you feel like you're stuck, if you feel like you don't quite know your purpose, or maybe you know it, but you just can't find the path toward it. If you're uncomfortable in your own skin and want to finally master self-love, then we need to talk. I'm Colleen Greco, and I'm your Joyologist. I help women just like you to reclaim the joy they feel is missing in their life through mindset coaching and nutrition coaching. Whether you have weight to lose or simply need to get your gut in check, I've got you. We'll work together to retire limiting beliefs. Those are the stories that are keeping you from your purpose. I need you to hear me. Those are the stories that we need to get rid of in order to get you on your path to your purpose. We will work together to get you that life you've always dreamed of. It would be my honor to connect with you. Reach out to me via Instagram at @ColleenGreco or email Colleen@ColleenGreco.com. Let's get you back to the show. Now, this episode is brought to you by Lignum Wealth Management. I've worked with Mark at Lignum for over 15 years. And before you get your mind racing, wealth was not, and maybe will ever be, a term in my vocabulary. It's more like survival is how I started. And how to really develop a plan, 1-0 at a time. How do I plan for the future now? So that was our mindset. And you know, I spend my days coaching clients on ways to improve their well-being, and finances are a very core part of your overall well-being. Ignoring it doesn't make the problem go away. In fact, it makes it worse. And you wake up years down the line wishing that you had taken that first step towards a plan. With Mark, he takes a very personalized approach to coaching, and it's all about your financial goals, not his. And he'll provide you sensible solutions and referrals to other experts that help you with your situation. Having a coach like Mark guide our family through the various stages of life allows me to focus on what I do best. So take the first step today towards a solid financial future and contact Mark at Lignum Wealth Management. His information's in the show notes. He's had my family's back for over 15 years. Welcome back to another episode of Joy Unleashed. I'm Colleen Greco, your humble host and resident joyologist. And today I'm so excited to talk with Kathleen Joan. Let's welcome her to the show. Hello, Kathleen.
Hello, Colleen. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Great.
So we have viewers and then we have listeners through the podcast network. So we have the beauty of both, which is great. And I would love for you to take a moment or several, however long it takes, for you to share a little bit about who you are and what brought you to us today.
All right. So I am a Dream Builder Life Coach at the Brave Thinking Institute in California, Southern California. I worked alongside Mary Morrissey. She was my mentor. And after pouring myself into her program, my passion is to help others create a life they love rather than default to life as is. And the reason I got here is I had been a Christian since childhood, and always, ever since I was young, I wanted to learn. I loved to learn, and I wanted to be a good Christian. And when I went off to college, I married the good Christian guy. We did all the good Christian things. And 4 decades later, I realized it wasn't what I thought it was. He had been lying and cheating, and I did not know. And so I went back to my biology background to find out the root cause. I knew that I was 50% of the relationship. So I went back to my biology background. I had been doing all the Christian good things. And we went to church every Sunday, held Bible studies in our home. We did all of that. So I couldn't go back to that. I had to figure out what I was how my personality was constructed. Anyway, when I went back to my biology background, I realized how my personality was formed from a very young age, and his too. And the relationship I found myself was labeled narcissistic codependent. I didn't even know what those two words meant. So I'm the codependent one, but basically they're both looking for love in all the wrong places. So that's the bottom line. That's how I got here, because I wanted to share this information because the world is evolving. They didn't know how personalities were developed back then. And a lot of what we're doing in society is actually backwards from what we should be doing.
Oh, wow. I would love to hear a little bit more about that, how we're doing things backwards. So can we, in my old IT days, we used to say double click. So can we double click on that?
Sure. On how we're doing things. Well, so if you think about, you know, for me, I mean, I'm coming from a Christian background, but this applies to everybody, that if you believe that we are a child of God, we are spirit, which is the thing that is forming ourselves is literally light and sound. And if you believe in God, you believe that it is light and the sound of love. And our entire body, every cell resonates with that frequency, that vibrational frequency of love. And it's a sound. It's a sound. And so every word we speak literally is a wavelength. And it forms our nervous system from a very young age. And so some of it can be inherited. Seven generations back, we can inherit some of these patterns of thinking. But if the pattern of thinking is not congruent to cell health, which is basically just being content. If you look at a cell as a battery, you know, negative, neutral, or positive, we go back and forth all the time. We need energy. So, you know, you have a positive or negative, but every word we speak literally forms or tells our body what to do. So it goes from our thinking, it creates a feeling, it creates an action, it creates a result. But most of the time, we blame the result, not our thinking pattern. So if we say, I'm angry because of him, it's really backwards. It's really coming from a thinking pattern that we have been installed with. So I had to go back and uninstall a lot of the thinking patterns that were causing unhealth. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. So during the first 7 years of life, we are trained to be on the lookout for danger. We don't know what's dangerous. So we learned that. So that's a huge blessing back then. You know, we did what we did to stay safe. Our body knows what to do intuitively. It just knows. During that time frame, we're not thinking rationally. We don't have logic. We're just basing everything off of how things feel to us. So everything that we felt forms a neuron, forms our nervous system, but that same thinking pattern can become a curse as an adult because it's a survival pattern. So our minds are really a survival pattern, trying to figure out what's safe, what's not, what's good, what's bad. We're trained to be like that. But then as an adult, it's very hard to break out of that survival pattern to the other side of your brain, which is the creative pattern. And I didn't even know I was in it. I mean, it just feels so normal. You don't even know you're in a survival pattern. You're just going along trying to do the right thing until something like that. I woke up in the middle of the night with a panic attack, not even knowing why I had a panic attack. I've never had a panic attack. And that's what I write in my book. You know, we were doing all the right things and life was good for me. I didn't think anything was wrong. But when I woke up in the middle of the night, one night in a panic attack, the first thought that came to mind was go check his cell phone. And I'm thinking, why did that pop in my head? I had no idea. So I went to go get his cell phone. And that's when I realized I needed to start paying attention to what was happening. And that's what's in my book, the story of now. He was a former military person, FBI person, And he was a spy, and I wound up becoming a spy on a spy to find out the truth of what was happening.
Well, isn't that fascinating?
It was.
I'm curious. So when you say, like, you know, you were doing all the right things and you felt like you were, I mean, is it safe to say you felt like you were happy?
Yeah.
The happiness that you were aware of.
Right.
So is it, and I'm not trying to simplify it because this term is not simple to achieve, but right. It's possible. Is it safe to say that you lacked self-love? And so as you talk about this codependency, that you were looking for love and kind of sacrificing more of yourself in order to make other people happy.
Definitely. But I didn't even think when I was labeled codependent, I'll make it real simple. The definition of codependency, they need three things to be safe in life. They want to be wanted, they need to be needed, and they want in needing approval. And so my approval, I really thought was I was trying to seek approval from God. And I never really in my mind thought he was a man in the sky with a beard and a book like the Michelangelo picture. But I did believe that heaven was for later and I wanted a good spot and I was being written into the book of life or the book of death. That was my mental image. Somebody was writing this book, not me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to be left out and I wanted a good spot. But that thinking is based on, did I do enough to make it? You know, it's kind of like, did I do enough? But that is conditional love. Love is unconditional. And I was setting up conditions subconsciously in my mind to do everything to please this God. And when I flipped it and started noticing, so feeling and feelings are a different thing. So feeling is literally listening to my body to notice when every cell has DNA in it. Tell me if this is too technical, but
Marlene, I could talk to you for 17 years, like keep going.
So DNA literally is a spiral in each of our cells that is meant to go up. It goes upward. Mm-hmm. You can immediately feel the shift in your body when it starts spiraling downward. Mm-hmm. So one is positive, one is negative. The neutrality is when kind of like when you're sleeping, you're just neutral and it's not really going anywhere, but you're still thinking. But that's the time to kind of regenerate those cells. It's trying to make them healthy again or regenerate them. But when people can't sleep, for instance, it's because they're so wired up. They're still on that positive or negative. They're in their imagination, kind of like either imagining the worst or, you know, imagining the future as being dire. But when I started paying attention to what I was feeling, noticing the chemical reaction and happening in my body, I realized how many times I was in fear. And I was in fear of losing my status in heaven. And yeah. I know that's coming from my the God of my upbringing, really, you know, that we're meant to, we have to do good in order, you know, it's kind of like a Santa image of God. But when I reverse that image, that God is for me, not against me, and everything is really happening for me to prove that he is there, I started seeing so many miraculous things that were happening for me. But my brain, so the way the brain works is if I'm focused on trying to do good throughout the day, there's a reticular activating system inside the middle of your brain. It's like in the pineal gland area. Mm-hmm. And it's called the RAS for short. But it is on the lookout for whatever you're programmed to look for, whatever you tell, kind of like that old I spy game. I spy something you don't see and the color of it is blue. You won't notice blue things in the room unless you tell your brain to look for it. And then all of a sudden you find 10 things.
Right.
But it's the same thing subconsciously. Subconsciously, I was looking for approval to be approved by this invisible spirit in the sky. And when I realized that that's not who God is, this is a spirit that's coming through me from my hands and my feet and my eyes to be seeing, I started telling my brain, I am safe, I am worthy, I am everything I thought that followed, I am, was literally a vibrational frequency that was looking for stuff out there. Right. And when I realized I was telling myself I was not enough. That's what I was trained. I was not enough. I'm not enough. I'm not doing enough. I'm not productive enough. I'm not making him happy enough. I'm not making my kids happy enough. I'm not a good enough mom. I should have done this better. I should have, could have done that. I should have said this. I mean, all those should haves and could haves and would haves. And I mean, if you just stop that dialogue and start using words literally that are more positive, your entire outlook out there is different.
Yeah. And what you attract in is more and more abundance. We talk about that all the time. So
right.
Amen.
Things would happen that, I mean, if you had talked to me, I always lived in my head. I was a very science major, you know, where A plus B equals C, you know, you have a hypothesis, you test it and you come up with a result. Mm-hmm. Well, now that I see that this is life too, that we do live in a cause and effect world, but it starts off with the thinking. And then you feel it, and then you act on it, and then that you get the results. But the results are never the cause. It's really, it's like it is intertwined, but we keep feeding the same results. And eventually, you know, it'll make you sick. It'll make you sick if you keep seeking approval.
Now you had, you know, you listened to your intuition, which told you to check his phone.
Right.
I'm guessing there were some things that maybe were a little unsavory in there, or you wouldn't have
right
in the story. You know, what was the thing that caused you to fight for yourself rather than stay?
Well,
you were married for, I think you said 44 years. So
yeah, my marriage ended. I found this out at the 42 year mark, and my natural instinct was to save what I thought was a good thing. You know, we had a lot of fun during our marriage. There were a lot of good things about it. But I realized that I was seeking the good things to maintain my good Christian girl image.
Yeah.
And I realized I was in a relationship that I couldn't trust anymore. And I did up until that point. I fully trusted him 100%. But when I realized that a lot of things, I could see it better. When I changed my mindset, I could see how I was being played. And I tried for 2 years doing everything I could think of to fix stuff. And that's the codependent thing, is that you're good at fixing things. Women especially are good at wanting to fix things. We're multitaskers and we're good at doing a lot of things, but everything I tried, nothing worked. And I realized I'm going to drive myself nuts. I mean, it's kind of like that, you know, you repeat the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. I'm not going to get truth out of him. And that's when I realized it's time to let it go.
Yeah.
And I did not want to. I didn't know what my future would look like. But at the same time, I could not stay in a relationship where it was based on not trust. But I was trusting my intuition more and more and more. And it was telling me, this is not healthy. This is not healthy. This is more toxic. And you're going to make yourself sick the more you try to help somebody else. And my whole life was all about the first two commandments. You love God with all your heart, and you serve others as you love yourself. That as you love yourself part has been left off of a lot of dialogue.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, absolutely. I think so.
And it's always been assumed as it's an ego thing, but it's not. It's literally as you love yourself, it's really listening to that still small voice within you. It's more God love, not ego love, if that makes
right.
sense.
Yes. Well, I mean, you're talking to the queen of everybody needs to love himself first, or, you know, the rest of this world doesn't
right.
work. Yes. When you, I think a lot of women, so this show focuses mainly on women and getting them to just take that first step towards their purpose, towards their fullest potential, because right. that can be the scariest step, is that first one saying, like, this is not working for me.
Right.
And having all the voices, I would imagine, of your kids, maybe grandkids or neighbors, or even maybe, you know, your pastoral staff telling you, well, I mean, it's been 44 years. How bad could it really be? Right. Exactly. And so you're like, okay, I'll stay small. I will stay stuck. You know, I'll just like power through it like I have been. But something made you put your foot down and on that path. What was that defining moment?
When I realized that joy is our right. It is our birthright. Yeah. And for so long, it's like, I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to bash any religion really, but it's always been identify with the suffering. And we're supposed to suffer through life. Well, and then wait till the next one. But when I realized joy is really, it's the opposite. It's we are meant here to have an abundant life. Yes. And even, you know, when Jesus said, you're going to do greater things than me, I'm thinking, what did he mean by that? And so it's kind of like going back to those root, those ancient, that ancient wisdom, but now I'm merging it with modern science. And I realize that every cell is wired to be content. And when I realize that, I'm thinking, man, I have a bigger mission here than I ever imagined, ever dreamed of, ever wanted, really. I didn't want to be out there on, I was always somebody who loved to support others and make other people happy. And I never dreamed I'd be the one to write a book. I encourage my kids to write a book. And, you know, I have 10 grandkids and I have 3 kids and they're all very successful. But I did not want the future to go down. I wanted a new imprint for society, basically. I wanted the imprint that we're meant to be joyful. We're not meant to be suffering until you don't suffer until you get to heaven. It's meant for now. And I realized, oh my gosh, this is my calling. I don't want it to be, but I will make it be, because I just felt like that was a calling more than anything. Not that I wanted to do it, but I was being called to do it because I had a background. I have the science background and I have the spiritual background.
I am so proud that you did that. It takes a lot of bravery. And I referred to myself during our struggle. Our son at the time was 10 and he had a suicide attempt. And that, I've told my story 1,000 times, but I know you don't know it. And so joy is what sprung out of that and put me on the path to my calling very similarly, in feeling like there was a phrase that got me through, which was trouble is your transportation. Like, hold on, something better is coming. This happened for a reason. It is putting you in a more beautiful scenario than where you are now. So just hang on, because the lesson's coming, right? And so it's like, okay, I'll hang on. And we started with joy in the smallest of moments, just finding these little moments in a day that you could attach to that would get you to the next moment. Because in the early days, I mean, oxygen was like, I could barely breathe.
Yeah.
Barely, you know, we were living second to second and then minute to minute. And then eventually it got to hour and things, you know, gradually started to improve. But I tell people, like, these moments are so powerful and the pain is real, but it's there to show you like the magnitude and the beauty of what's possible.
Right.
Like that is so powerful. And to look back on that time in our lives and say, wow, I'm so grateful that that happened. I mean, anybody that actually puts those two phrases together probably thinks I'm crazy, but
I know,
but he's almost thriving at a level that, yeah, he's thriving at a level that I would have never imagined.
No.
No idea this kid's confidence now. It's like amazing. And so it has happened for all the right reasons. You just don't see it all the time when you're in the midst of it.
No. And that's what it's kind of like we're constantly seeking. But the biggest switch that I had to do is that I was in my head, a logical thinker, reasonable, and I would come up with reasons for what I felt. I don't come up with reasons anymore. Mm-hmm. I know what I feel. It's either going to be positive or negative or neutral. It's yeah. much easier to navigate life knowing that my body comes first. Yes. And I was never taught how to read my body. Most of us have not. And it just sounds, at first it sounded so selfish. I was so selfish not to try to help my husband make good choices on our behalf. And I thought it was my responsibility to have him. But really to change your nervous system. So the book is all about the art and science of transformation. And you cannot change somebody else's nervous system. They have to do it because they have to feel what they feel. And in my generation, we talked about feelings. We didn't talk about the feeling. Yeah. So the feelings is really attaching a thought to it. You put a meaning behind that. Like, you know, for your son, you probably thought you were the bad mom, you know, and it's like you're trying everything you can think of to help people. But it's really their own nervous system that picked up a meaning attached to the feeling. So yeah. I had to literally train myself to notice when DNA was spiraling up, when it was spiraling down, and immediately stop that runaway train from spiraling down, because I knew it was going the opposite way from learning and growing and expanding my soul. And so when I realized that science part of it, that's what I wanted to share with others. This is much easier than we ever made it out to be.
Yeah.
We can experience heaven on earth if we just know the science piece. But it also, for some people, makes themselves feel bad because they're doing the wrong thing. And I'm not saying we did anything wrong. You know, when you literally look at how smart we were during childhood to figure out how to make ourselves safe, we did an awesome job to be here.
Yeah.
It's just that we didn't know that we could flip over to the other side and not have that same lookout. So the brain is on the lookout for danger all the time. And if we stay in that lookout for danger, you're looking for danger. And it's kind of like that is the opposite of creating.
I tell people, you know, I do a lot of coaching around mindset, and we talk a lot about removing limiting beliefs. And there's always a visceral response, and it happens right away because the ego serves it up on the silver platter and says, here you go. Remember, you're not good enough. And for me, it hits me in the throat. Well, I'll tell you what, now that I have removed so many limiting beliefs, when I am out of alignment, when my head and heart aren't in agreement and my heart isn't leading, I get the most intense pain in my cheekbones.
Wow.
And it's like burning, like pain. And so the more I heal, the faster those reactions come, but I'm also able to let them go a lot faster. So it's like, it almost feels like I'm in this constant state of healing.
Yeah.
But it's a good thing. It's a good reminder.
Mine is my gut will flip, and immediately I'll get a gut feeling, and immediately I go, oops. And you don't have to go. I mean, there's been so much research on, you know, talk therapy has been good for a while, mm-hmm. but to actually go back and try to find the time that you created a belief about not being good enough is really a waste of time. I mean, I'm not going to say it's a waste of time, but it's not necessary.
Right.
It can be helpful, but all you really need to know is if my gut flips immediately, I noticed it is contracting. If my hands get sweaty, immediately I know I'm in fear of being criticized. You know, it's,
right.
in my book, I use the word crap, you know, which is criticized, rejected, abandoned, or punished. And it's like, you are afraid one of those four are going to happen, and your body will immediately get tense. I'll notice, for me, it's a gut flip. And then my second most popular place where this negative energy goes is my right shoulder, which tells me now that my left brain is too much in use. Go play.
Yeah. Oh, you're absolutely right. And it's like when your body doesn't get the response it's looking for, it gets louder. And so initially it'll be here, and then it moves here. And before you know it, it's like, you better pay attention or my back will give out.
Yeah.
So I totally get it. And I really subscribe to what you're saying and practice it and believe it, that, you know, your body is constantly sending signals. In my opinion, the word I use is lie. Like, so when I get that lump in my throat, it's a lie.
Yeah.
Immediately. The fact that it comes so quickly.
Yeah.
Without me even being able to think and decide and make a determination, you've attached emotion to a situation or a phrase or a word.
Right.
Your body's telling you it's a lie.
Yeah. So
stop and notice that my method's called the snap method. You stop and notice that reaction is happening.
Right.
Don't just dismiss it and don't run to the pantry and go try to self-soothe it. Like own it and know it's a lie. It's coming too quickly.
Yeah.
Right. And so I could literally talk about this stuff.
Me too. Yeah. Because really when I started, I used the word stop in my workbook too. Like stop would be just stop and pause a minute. Just stop. Just stop. And I feel it first. And then I take a moment to take a breath because the breath is huge. I mean, really, when you talk about the spirit within us, it is that root Greek word is breath. So if you breathe right below your belly button, that's where you trigger a lot of parasympathetic nerves as opposed to sympathetic nerves. Mm-hmm. And the sympathetic nervous system is where you do give people sympathy, whereas a parasympathetic nervous system is where you give them empathy. You recognize the emotion within you. You're not going to feel sorry for somebody. You just recognize it and let them know that they have the power within them to change them too. They have the power to become confident. And then the O was just observe your body. 90 seconds is all it takes to flip all those chemicals. There's thousands of chemical reactions that happen per second every time you start spiraling that DNA down. And if you reverse it and stop it, it takes 90 seconds. No different than hitting your crazy bone on your elbow and it goes away.
Yep.
That's how long it takes for you to reverse the downward spiral. Yeah. But if you don't, then you want to sleep on, I mean, that's when things spiral down. And then the P is to proceed with something that brings you joy. It could be calling somebody up. It could be taking a walk. It could be journaling. It could be anything, you know, but whatever lights you up. But that has been my acronym for a long time now. But the more I'm able to do that, the more I can be in somebody's presence and realize when they're in fear.
Mm-hmm.
Not my fault, and I'm not absorbing it. It's almost like I can keep my little shield. And you know, even the word boundaries has become like you keep them away from me. Well, that can also be like you're trying to fight, freeze, or flee from them. But I don't do that anymore either. I just know who I can trust, who I cannot trust, when to open my mouth, when to shut my mouth. You know, if somebody's not resonating with me, I'm going, okay, they're at another spot than me. I'm not going to absorb what they're telling me, and they don't have to believe what I'm doing. And that's getting me out of that codependent stage where I don't need their approval. I don't want their approval. I don't really care if they approve or not. I just know who I know that this still small voice within me is telling me what I'm to do.
And when you've really developed that level of mastery, you're able to create the space for that person to express their fear, but without absorbing it, which
totally.
That is when you start to see that and you're like, oh, I normally would have reacted differently. It's like the greatest feeling.
Totally.
You know, it takes you back to, you know, my graduation day.
Yeah, totally.
Well, Kathleen, this has been such an awesome conversation that I wasn't kidding. I could talk to you for 17 years about. So folks that are listening won't see this, but you'll see it in the show notes. You can get a copy of Kathleen's book at fromgoo2gratitude.com/shop. And you connect with her on, you know, through her website, fromgoo2gratitude.com. Any parting words before we wrap today?
No, I'll I've been giving workshops. I'll just give the verse that I give at the very end. You can't go back and start a new beginning, but you can start right here for a brand new ending.
Wow. Well, that was pretty prolific and a great way to end the show. Kathleen, thank you so much for being on today.
Thank you, Colleen. I appreciate it.
And that was our latest episode of Joy Unleashed. Be sure to subscribe to my YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. So we just left a great conversation with Kathleen Joan, and her book, From Goo to Gratitude, is all about her flight to health, I guess, right? She was in a 44-year narcissistic, codependent relationship and has finally discovered her true self. And it's all about taking that first step, putting that foot on the path towards your potential. You don't have to know where you're going. You just have to know where you are isn't good enough for you. So today's joy tip of the day is face your fear, step into your fear, put that first foot on the path towards your potential and don't question it. Just ride the wave and you will get to where you need to be in no time.
Thank you for tuning in to Joy Unleashed. As always, it's my honor to be your host and joyologist, Colleen Greco. Follow me at The Colleen Greco on Instagram for daily motivation and inspiration. And don't forget to leave my show a review on Apple Podcasts. Until next time, sisters.